Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Noral Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
No, sirs, please. Joe. Just Joe. Average right. Joe. Yeah, my name is Joe McNeil, long-time resident. 34 winters we've been in Fort McMurray. Yeah. And from the East Coast originally, my wife and I, the other island, Cape Breton Island, down east. We came out here after we graduated university, came for a couple of weeks to check the place out. My wife had family here, and yeah, the rest is, they say, is history. So we've been here for 34 years, proud of our four adult children, all born and raised here in this community. So we have lots of friends and family here for minor hockey, baseball, you name it, dance, theater, four boys and one girl, so we got to experience both sides, both from the girls and the boys. And we're here during the construction of McDonald Island when Highway 63 was two lanes, so we've seen a lot over the last 34 years, but lots of ups and downs, but mostly ups. And we love this community, and I volunteer quite a bit the last 20 some years. I've served on a number of boards, chaired a couple, I'm running for Ward 1 Council as an opportunity to give back to this community and really to leave Fort McMurray a place that's even better than it is now for our kids and our kids' kids.
Cool.
Future generations. Yeah.
So my wife saw that you were coming on the show, and she was just like, oh, I know some of his kids. Like, they've all done very, like, different things as they've grown up, maybe through the arts, dance,
that's
sight,
right,
whatnot.
Yeah,
can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, so I want to first start with the school system here in Fort Mac. We were so blessed to have the teachers that our children did have throughout their school career, and we're really blessed, and we've had teachers come to our younger kids' graduation after the older ones graduated, just to attend their graduation. So very special in that regard. Minor hockey, I coached until my kids got to the novice level, then they were beyond my skills. But and 1 year I coached two teams. I sat on the board there for a couple of years as well back in the day. So lots of weekends in the arenas watching hockey, and We really made a large network of friends growing up, and our work life. A lot of those folks, I have been running multi-trade contracting organizations for the last 20 plus years, and a lot of the folks we got to know in town here through in the community are people who we work side by side to in our day jobs as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
What is your background as far as your day jobs concerned?
Yeah, so good question. I'm an electrician by trade, so I did come up through the trade, so I have a very strong connection and passion for trades. Two of my boys are in the trades, the other boy is in the technical component of the trades, and then our daughter's outside the trades, but she did attend, it was an event put on to expose young ladies to various trades, so she might circle back and actually get involved. So strong advocate for the trades and community for sure, and I think there's a lot of opportunity that we didn't have, or I didn't have growing up, that kids here in Fort McMurray, I mean it's endless, the possibilities and career path choices that they have, right? So
definitely, especially like with trades and the RAP program and Careers Next Generation.
Absolutely.
There's like all of these things if you're a youth, just amazing.
Yeah, and I served on that board for a while too, careers. So
okay.
Yeah, it was a good connection for our youth. And the interesting thing, I want to make a long story short, is each of our kids' graduation, they do a screen the picture and then kind of what their future plans are. Mm. So going from the first one, he's 29 now, to our youngest, who's 21, more and more were mm-hmm. staying in town, attending Cano College or trades in Fort Mac. So we mm-hmm. saw that number going up, and mm-hmm. that's nice to see.
Yeah, especially because you don't got to travel to find your kids anymore if they're going to stay here.
Well, all four of them are here, and I mean, we didn't have a desire to leave Fort McMurray anyway, but
right.
That just secures our future plan that we're going to be staying in Fort Mac
for quite
a while. Yeah.
Yeah, I see that often with people who kind of work here and then get to a certain point where they're like, oh, I'm going to move back to Cape Breton
because
that's what I know.
Yeah.
And they have four kids, and I always tell them, like, you better stay put. You're going to waste a lot of money on air tickets and potentially like a secondary home in Fort McMurray if you got grandkids.
No, absolutely. And it's funny, my wife and all four of my children and their partners are down in Cape Breton. They go back every summer for a visit. And mm-hmm. The kids liked going there when they were really young. And funny story, when we moved to Fort Mac, I think the average age was 24 or something. So it's young people. So
yeah.
Our kids, when they were young and just starting to grow up, they didn't see a lot of older, mature folks, right? So we took them to Cape Breton the first trip, and my oldest boy, I still remember, we were parking at a store, and he said, Dad, why is there so many old people here? But it's just, you don't realize it being an adult here, but yeah, you're right. That's so, you explain demographics, and another example is you meet people now before, where are you from? That's the first question. Now it's, you meet people who are born here. It's nice, right?
And
I think that really goes to kind of the growth and the depth of our community.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people stick around.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My parents are retired here. They're both in their 70s now. Like, that wasn't something that you really saw prior to, you know?
No, absolutely. And it's nice to see the community maturing in that way, that, you know, we have a widespread demographics, culture. I mean, it's just a rich community.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So in regards to politics, you've been here for a while. What at this stage of your life made you think, you know what? This is something I want to spend my time doing.
Yeah, it wasn't a boyhood dream or anything like that, or anything I really gave a lot of thought to. I do have governance experience with the various boards I've served on. So in those roles, I was familiar with engaging with provincial politicians, so got some exposure through, you know, Alberta Health Services, Advanced Education. That was really my exposure to politics, in addition to local politics, where you tune in to watch council or drop in to see it, right? So mm-hmm. I think my primary motivator is, right now our kids are grown. I do have, my wife wouldn't want to hear me say I have some spare time, but I have time outside of my other social profit commitments to actually dedicate to that. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have capacity or the time to fulfill the role. So I look at the role as an opportunity, and I tying into my business or day job, where I've led complex budgets and organizations, that, you know, I really see this opportunity as I'm applying for a job, and I think I'm qualified, and I'm a very humble guy, so it feels awkward even saying that. I think I could do a really good job, mm-hmm. and I'm committed to work hard for folks. And I think sometimes we lose sight, politicians lose sight, that you work for the people and you need to listen to people. And really, my campaigning, it's a lot of work. I'm going to getting around, meeting a lot of people, and getting to experience some things that I hadn't experienced before. So that's been really enriching, but really just listening. When people hear, oh, you're running for Ward 1 Council, they expect me to start blurping campaign quotes and jargon and stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. no, I want to listen to you. Like, you tell me, I'm going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that a lot of our concerns or issues in the community aren't similar, but there are some differences. So I think it's important that everyone has a voice, everyone's heard. And I think sometimes we may lose track of that in the horseshoe at City Council, that things that are being tabled or discussed aren't necessarily a priority for folks in the community. So I see an opportunity to bring that to the table, as well as, I guess, a professionalism, and show up like you're ready to, you're showing up for work. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean a three-piece suit, but it means be respectful in your appearance for the folks you're working for.
Yeah.
And respect, have spirited debate, mm-hmm. Without getting personal or emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Table real issues and vote, and you know, wherever the vote go, you might not necessarily agree with the vote every time, but mm-hmm. as a high functioning board, which the council is, mm-hmm. you lock arms and you go with the decision of the board, right? So
yeah.
I think we have an opportunity to get back to that type of atmosphere, and really, you know, the opportunity as I see in front of our community. We talked about how diverse and rich the community is. I think that goes from the economic perspective as well. What's it look like to get more people living in our community? I think that's a key. And there's some folks out there that are doing a lot of work to get workers localized that are working at the various sites,
mm-hmm.
And small business. I've owned a business in Fort Mac for some time, and I'm familiar with red tape is such an overused word, but we need to make it easy for entrepreneurs to go through the process. And even if the process is complex, have someone quarterback that process rather than just sending people, you know, go see there. So I think a roadmap and make it easy for businesses to get up and running. I think small business is the heart of any community, and we have to respect that and do what we can to make their lives easier when it comes to getting up and running in our community. Now, if small business is the heart, I think the lifeblood is, I'm starting to sound like a politician, I apologize.
I hope so.
The social profit or nonprofit and the volunteers. Man, you attend events in this community, the back to school event that Prestige put on, shameless plug for Mo and his team, but the people that showed up at that, and you know, he had some really wise words. This isn't just about donating school supplies, this is about building community. And it was touching, and the number of people that showed up for that, and I think it was only their second time doing it, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that's just one example. People just give tirelessly of their time, talent, and their money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to recognize that. And our nonprofits, being as important as they are, and I've some of the concerns that I've heard just traveling around the last few weeks is, I think there's opportunity for them to get more time in front of council, whether it's explaining what they do, you know, getting support, seeking support. I don't think there should be a gap or a stage in between these organizations and council.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, with all the different cultural, not just cultural, because I bumped into you at a cultural.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So with all of the different events that you've been going to, what has surprised you? Because like when I started this podcast, for example, like I'm born and raised. I thought I knew everything about Fort McMurray. Then I started doing this thing and all of a sudden people came out of the woodworks. So I was just like, oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So when you're going to these different things, what's something that has surprised you?
Yeah, and it was the first couple. And you know, I picture our community like this, and these individual communities are, I think, the pillars that hold our community together, and the warm welcome that I got. Mm-hmm. And I was a little worried at first, like I'm just a guy nobody knows, I'm running for local office, I'm a politician, I guess, or a wannabe politician,
yeah.
whatever you want to call me. But the warm welcome I got, and I think it's because I just wanted to listen to them.
Mm.
And I think people find that refreshing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, you do your photos and stuff, but I don't just slide in, get a couple pictures, and then gone. I actually make my rounds, and I want to listen to people. I was at the farmer's market up in Thickwood. Great, venue, like the local crafts and the food that they had on sale at the market there. And I was contacted by the manager of the markets, asked me, hey, we know we're pretty small, would mind dropping by and have a chat? So I dropped in and had a chat, and you know, some concerns and what, you know, what could the municipality do to help you? Because I mean, that's a, yes, it's small, but it's such an important. He said that, yeah, we got like 2,000 regulars that come here every week. So I mean, that's big.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh no.
So it's those things that surprise me, and some of the events and festivities, there's some of the same people. So there's a lot number of people in the community that they. And they're not running for office. They're out there and they're just connecting and mingling with folks, right? So that's what I found most surprising is the warm welcome. Not that I was expecting an unwarm welcome or a cold welcome, it was refreshing and very rewarding. So that keeps me going.
So in your free time now, because you got a little bit of it, don't tell your wife.
Yeah, don't tell your wife. My honey-do list is quite extensive.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question, but he has his questions ready. So.
Oh, okay.
We're going to segue to Tanner's segment called the Max City Minute, brought to you by Carrie and Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
2 months off really hit you hard, hey?
Yeah. Really.
Question number one for you today. Who is one teacher or coach your kids had that left the biggest impact on your family?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to name one teacher, but it was definitely the teachers that they had. And the interesting thing is, that there was a couple of teachers that each of my children were taught by. So I don't want to name because there's a number of them, and I don't want to risk leaving anyone out. But and the reason they're memorable is, and I have utmost respect for teachers and anyone that works in education. I mean, that's a calling that you have to have a passion for. You're not doing it for any reward other than, you know, yeah, you get a paycheck, but that doesn't make up for the commitment it takes. So teachers who go out above and beyond outside the regular school hours, whether that's after school activities, they run into your children out in the community on weekends or after school, and they are so warm and supportive of my kids. And I'm sure this isn't a unique experience, but I speak very highly of our education system here, and that rests on teachers and the support staff in our education system. So I don't want to name names, but you know, kudos to everyone working in education in our community.
Question number two for you. What is one thing you hope to bring to the table that many others may not be able to bring?
And a couple of things. Again, it feels awkward saying this, but I do have about 20 years of governance experience, process, and high functioning within a board. So I bring that to the table to lead by example. I'm a firm believer. You say coming to the table, I think that's an important piece. Anyone in Ward 1, my personal opinion, you should be in person. If not, you know, rare occasion where that's not possible, join virtually. The outlying wards, it's logistically it's a lot more difficult, so that's fine. But Ward 1, I think you should be sitting at the table. Show up like you're showing up for work. Prepared, read the material, don't ask questions. Like if you have your pre-reads, be prepared for the conversation and the following debate and vote. And show up like you're dressed to go to work. No three-piece suit, but be clean, alert. I don't want to digress, but and be there for the people. And after watching council, my goal would be, I'm glad that guy's gotten on council. Right. So,
question number three: who is your Mount Rushmore of musicians?
My Mount Rushmore of musicians. I had the absolute pleasure of seeing ZZ Top three times, and I got to meet them backstage, and I have photos on my phone. They are one of my favorites. The other is AC/DC. I got to see them in Edmonton, and it was at the Coliseum, and is that where the football is that called Coliseum? Anyway, where the Edmonton Eskimos play. And
Coliseum was Rexall Place.
Right, that's right.
I don't know where they play football, but
Yeah. Anyway, it was outdoor venue, you'll edit this anyway, right?
No, we will not.
No?
Not even a little.
Okay. So it was outdoors, and when they played Thunderstruck, it was started thundering and lightning like crazy. So it was a memorable concert. It was fantastic. Another one, and I wouldn't have guessed it until I've seen him live. My wife wanted to go see Bon Jovi in Edmonton. We went down to see Bon Jovi. His opening act was Kid Rock. And I like Kid Rock, but I wouldn't say I wouldn't say he was on my Mount Rushmore, but he had about, it had to be 15 to 20 musicians on stage with him. Mm-hmm. And he went around each instrument at some point, picked it up and played it. So there was nothing on the stage he couldn't play. Wow. He did a solo, just him and the piano. And just the talent that this guy has, that put him on my Mount Rushmore. It wasn't for every song that he's done, but for the caliber of talent. Like, he is old school talent, in my opinion.
You got one more.
One more. I'd have to go country. I used to like Garth Brooks back in the day. Still like him. But some of the older country bands from the 90s.
There we go. Throw some Reba in there.
Yeah, Reba, Brooks and Dunn. My daughter named her dog Dolly after Dolly Parton. So there, she's a country fan too. But yeah. So I don't really follow the newer country now, but I think it's kind of getting away from its older roots.
No, question number four. What is one way you feel Fort McMurray has shaped you that you may not be able to experience in other places?
Wow, that's a deep question, man. He gets asked the hard question. I think it was done through demonstration and resiliency is an overused word too, so I'm not even going to go there. The toughness of our people, the intellect of our people, you know, what industry is doing north of us and south of us here, the science and technology involved in that. I mean, it's world class, and it goes right from the brains to the sometimes more the brawn and the toughness of, and I was one of those guys out working minus 40 whatever outside at night. It teaches you a lot, and I think being tough, getting through things. I mean, we've been through fires and floods. We've always come out the other end, and I think that maintaining a positive attitude that no matter how bad the situation is, it's going to end and things are going to get better. So I think that's the biggest thing that's taught me, and the importance of family and community as well.
And your final question, if you could create one meal that describes you as a person, what would that meal be?
Okay, so it would be a number of smoked meats. I smoke meat the charcoal, the old-fashioned way. So it would be brisket, pulled pork, smoked beans, smoked mac and cheese, a little green apple coleslaw to go along with it, and it would be...
And those have been your five questions.
There we go. You didn't even miss a beat on that one. Some of these questions, I'm just like, I'd have to think for a second. You were just like, no, well, man, it's like you knew that question.
No, it was like I didn't have to think. Like, that would be, it would be something smoked, and those are my favorite things.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, well, and you got the whole gauntlet, meat, sides.
Yeah.
What are you drinking? What's the drink in that?
Well, it depends. So if it's brisket, it's a long time. So it'll be starting off with maybe one or two beer before I switch to scotch, but it'd be mostly scotch.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, we're going to... Have you been to Meat in Edmonton?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been to Meat?
Yeah.
So they have a nice wall of bourbons, scotches, whiskeys.
Yeah.
What whiskey are you drinking? Like, what's your go-to?
My go-to? The best one is that my favorite is Oban. 14-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and my oldest boy did a school trip when he was going to U of C, and they went to Scotland, and he got a tour of the distillery.
Nice.
And he was sending me, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
Very cool.
But anything old and gold, I'll drink. But
I'll show you some stuff later on. Anyways, yeah. Tanner tapped his watch, though. That means we're out of time.
Okay.
So before I cut you loose, though, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, lights. Have fun.
Shout out, plug for anybody. I want to plug, shout out, and I already mentioned Prestige, Mo and the team there. I want to shout out to every community organization that I've had an opportunity to visit. Thank you for the warm welcomes. Thank you for bending my ear. I really, my biggest plug would be Fort Mac, you folks are the hiring committee for your next council. Let's look at it as recruiting. Check resumes, check commitment. Why are individuals doing this? And hire wisely, please. And, you know, get out and vote. I think we've had the most candidates I can remember running. Hopefully we get the highest voter turnout as well. So make your voice starts right now and it's loud and clear. Get out and vote, please, and make the next 4 years a time of change and a time of prosperity and continued greatness of our beloved community, Fort McMurray.
There we go. Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world. That's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope you're all having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi everyone, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.